Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the newly announced negotiated rulemaking that came out of the Department of Education. And we're going to talk about what it means, what the timeline is, what it could mean for your student loans, in particular, borrowers that are going for PSLF, pay-as-you-earn, or ICR need to be paying attention to this negotiated rulemaking closely. Let me explain first what negotiated rulemaking is. This is the primary executive action type of path that results in big regulatory changes to stuff at Department of Ed. This negotiated rulemaking was done by President Biden to roll out the SAVE plan. And what they did on negotiated rulemaking with the Biden administration is they brought together a bunch of different people that the Department of Ed chose. In general, it was very progressive people, which makes sense because of the politics of the Biden administration also being progressive. And so you had a lot of people from like Borrower Protection Center. You had a lot of like policy experts that would be allies of the White House, right, of the Biden White House. And they came together and they came up with the SAVE plan. Now, interestingly enough, the Biden administration did not just listen to the people on the negotiated rulemaking panel, because the people on the panel wanted things like 400% of the poverty line as the deduction before you have to pay anything on IDR. They wanted cancellation every year that people were on an IDR plan. What's interesting about that is the negotiators have to come to a consensus. If you put a bunch of people with disparate views on the panel, then the people, if they don't come to a consensus, then Department of Ed, through the executive authority from the White House, can just basically impose whatever they want if the negotiated rulemakers do not come to a consensus. Now, this is a process that gets kicked off and has to result in releasing the rules for public comment over a certain minimum amount of time. And the rules have to get published in the official register by November for them to take into effect the following July. So in general, that's the negotiated rulemaking calendar. So what is the chance that a group that's announced and put together in April is going to get its rules finalized and put out there by the time for November to have them take into effect in July of 2026? Is it likely? I don't think it's super likely. It's possible, maybe, but I don't think it's super likely. What I think is more likely instead is that you would see the first round of hearings. They're actually happening in late April, which is really fast, to be honest. It was much faster than the Biden administration. The Biden administration, if I recall correctly, didn't get negotiated rulemaking together until maybe about a year after they were in office. I'm not sure about that, but that's just off the top of my head what I remember. You'll probably have a initial hearing, the preliminary hearing that's coming up in end of April, early May. Then you'll probably have some announcements for hearings over the summer that would release some draft text, and we will know a lot once that draft text comes out as to what the White House is thinking. In particular, they are talking about this negotiated rulemaking being focused on the pay plan, the ICR plan, and the PSLF plan. So that is really targeting our audience. It's very important to pay attention to this. Now, I will say at first glance, my initial reaction would be that borrowers probably don't have to be extremely concerned, and I'll tell you why. So the PSLF part of things is explicitly to implement President Trump's order against illegal activities benefiting borrowers pursuing PSLF. And then, by the way, I'm using their terminology that was in the order. Then what they would say, what the White House would say, is that they do not want any borrower working at a nonprofit that promotes quote-unquote illegal activities receiving PSLF. So what they're doing is they're really targeting like immigration nonprofits and nonprofits that would be progressive, that would be trying to act in resistance to the White House's immigration and deportation agenda. And so they are trying to target those nonprofits to make it harder for those nonprofits to be able to have people work there. Just to be transparent, that's what they're doing, right? Extremely aggressive, extremely shocking response, I guess. The only positive that I would say about that is that that probably impacts a relatively few small number of borrowers that are pursuing PSLF overall. So for example, if I'm a nonprofit hospital employee, I would not be super worried about that. Now, I will say this. We have seen them target like Ivy League research institutions that are sort of progressive bastions of thought. Could a nonprofit hospital that's refusing to cooperate with ICE potentially be similarly targeted by trying to have it stripped of PSLF eligibility? I would not be shocked if that happened. But I do think it's not going to be a broad category of all nonprofit hospitals that would get axed. And I'll tell you some more reasons why. The Senate has proposed like $5 trillion of tax cuts and things like that, but they've proposed no spending cuts. It's almost nothing. The House has proposed huge amounts of spending cuts, which is why they proposed things like getting rid of the nonprofit status of hospitals, right, to bring in hundreds of billions of dollars in additional revenue. So they proposed big spending cuts and big tax cuts, but those two sides are super far apart. So it's clear that the House and the Senate can agree. What is that going to mean for PSLAP borrowers? Well, they probably want to try to undo some of the stuff in the 2023 PSLF rule. So if you think about President Biden's rule that came out about PSLF in July of 2023, I think they want to try to rein in some of that, right, with this negotiated rulemaking. And I think that they want to try to impose some of their own rules, such as stuff about, like, you know, certain nonprofits not getting PSLF that are acting against the Trump administration. Now, that's not legal. That's not in the PSLF law. It does not say that the president can just block nonprofits from getting PSLF because he doesn't like them. So that's not legal. It's not in the statute. I expect it will be litigated. I'm not sure what the courts will say, but I would assume, based off of them, the statute saying that you're not allowed to, you know, you're not, it's all 501c3s. It doesn't say 501c3s dot, dot, dot that the president likes, right? That's not in the statute. So I think that we're just going to see a lot of aggressive lawsuits filed all over the place with this stuff. My takeaway, though, is that the average PSLF borrower on the street should not be afraid. And the reason is, you know, at least so far, stuff that's in the statute either wins and doesn't get touched, or eventually the courts say, hey, you can't do that. One positive thing, they said pay ICR, PSLF. What are they not saying with this negotiated rulemaking? IBR. Why? Because IBR is in statute. So that's kind of proving my point, right? If they were going to try to rein in or repeal IBR, they would have said this in the negotiated rulemaking, but they didn't. Now, why is the pay plan and the ICR plan caught up in this? Let's talk about that. So the pay plan is caught up in this, and the ICR plan is caught up in this. If you think about it in the most charitable way, it's because the 2024 save plan rule, which is probably going to be thrown out completely by courts, puts a lot of restrictions on pay and ICR. It says you're not able to access them until a certain date. They extended that date to like 2027 for people to sign up for those two plans because of the court actions. But when that save plan rule gets tossed completely, which probably will happen, suddenly the pay and the ICR plans no longer have any kind of an expiration date whatsoever. And so the administration probably wants to do negotiated rulemaking just to make sure the pay and the ICR plans do have a phase out date. And so that is the most likely outcome in my mind for the pay and the ICR plans. Now, if a court comes in and says you cannot get forgiveness on those plans, then I think that there would be a chance the administration would try to argue, well, if you cannot get forgiveness on the pay and the ICR plans, then what is the point of those plans existing, right? And so you could see the administration try to end the pay and the ICR plans if a court says, hey, you cannot get forgiveness on these plans. Now, would that be litigated? I don't know, because for PSLF borrowers, pay can be very helpful. And so pay with PSLF could be possible, even if pay with 20-year forgiveness is not possible. I think what they're doing is they're setting themselves up to try to aggressively wind down the pay and the ICR plan, because Republicans do have a priority of simplifying the repayment plans. And with Biden, actually, he shared that priority. The difference was they wanted a completely different kind of plan. Democrats wanted the save plan because it was so generous. The Republicans want something that's not the save plan that pushes people to pay back their loans. Now, interestingly enough, another bill came out in the Senate, which was sort of this very widely supported bill in the Senate. And the bill in the Senate says that we should go back to the repay plan, just straight up. Let's go back to the old repay plan, eliminate everything else, and the only plans are the standard plan and the repay plan, and that's it. So that's what the Senate wants, and it's repeated itself that that's what it wants. Now, the House wants this sort of House GOP plan, which is basically like this thing that in my mind is actually almost as expensive as the SAVE plan, unless they trim it with limiting the interest subsidies that people could get based off of the loan amount or income or something like that. The House GOP plan is radically different from all prior IDR plans. The Senate plan is just, let's go back to repay and make it that for everybody. Now, of course, if the repay was the only option, there'd be a marriage penalty for student loan borrowers. You would be hit heavily by having 10% of your joint income be subject to having to pay 10% of your joint income. That would be pretty rough for people who have, you know, one person have loans and one does not. Now, would they still grandfather in existing borrowers? I suspect they would. I suspect people on the IBR plan would still be able to do the IBR plan. But this is showing the absolute chaos right now. It is absolute chaos with student loans. And, you know, if I ever sound kind of like I'm backtracking or I'm hedging or something like that, I'm not trying to be non-committal or something. I'm just having to be honest with you that when you have uncertainty turned up to an 11, I have to tell you what I know for sure, what I don't know for sure, and what I'm really unsure about. And sometimes those things shift categories depending on what's going on. So right now, what am I sure about? The PSLF and IBR in some fashion are going to continue to be around. What I don't know about is the House GOP got its way and stripped nonprofit hospitals from qualifying for 501c3 status. Then that would be a major problem. Will they succeed in that? No, I don't think so. Here's one of the reasons why. The Republicans are in deep political trouble right now, just to be real transparent. These tariffs that they did really backfired. I think that they thought that they could get away with tariffs without a lot of pain in the markets, and the market threw up all over itself. The market went down, 15%, wiped out $10 trillion of global stock market value. We would be so much farther ahead right now if we had just handed out million-dollar checks to swing state voters with a high school education. We would have saved trillions and trillions of dollars if we had just done that instead, which is kind of an ironic thing to say, but it's a true thing to say. So the market absolutely hates these tariffs. The market thinks it's a terrible idea, but the White House is pursuing it anyway. Now, what's going to happen is when people watch their 401ks and their IRAs shrink a ton, that's going to be super unpopular. Tax cuts, the way the Republicans are doing it, are already something that's probably like a 40 to 45% approval rating, right? So it's already not like super popular what they're doing, right? And if they do any kind of big spending cuts, well, then that's going to be even more unpopular, right? So what they've done is they're sort of backing themselves into a corner politically. And so when you're trying to overhaul so many things, you're only able to do that so long as your frontline members in competitive districts are willing to go along with it. And if they're not, and they dial back legislation in terms of how aggressive it is, then that's going to mean fewer changes. And so that's what I would anticipate, to be quite honest with you. On the legislative front, I think that we're going to see a little bit more of a calmer, less radical overhaul of the student loan system, because I think that the frontline members are going to be just really, really worried about their prospects in 2026. And then, at the same time, what about the White House? Well, they're going to do negotiated rulemaking. They're going to come out with a rule no matter what. And then the question will be, will any of that get challenged in the courts? My guess is that yes. Why? Because progressive groups have already had a lot of success so far. Think about the American Federation of Teachers with the Borrower Protection Center. They filed a lawsuit to force the administration to reopen the IBR plan, and they're still suing them to reopen processing for the IBR plans. That's really interesting, right? Do you think that if the negotiated rulemaking comes out with a rule that says people that work at the Borrower Protection Center cannot get PSLF because we don't like them, well, do you think they're going to sue over that? Of course, right? And so then you'd see another lawsuit. They would say, hey, the statute does not allow the president to say, I don't like this 501c3. I'm taking away PSLF because that's not what it says. And I would anticipate the courts would agree. And so that means you're going to see lots of fighting in the courts over all this stuff because the administration is being so aggressive on everything, right? And, in terms of the big anvil hanging over our heads with the Eighth Circuit, eventually they're going to rule. Eventually they're going to toss the save plan. The question is how. Probably they'll just toss the whole save plan rule. They might go farther in saying the pay and the ICR plans are also illegal, but what they might do is they might leave that open to interpretation and they might just throw the whole save plan rule out and not go farther than that. We just have to see. But you've got uncertainty with the White House, you've got uncertainty with the courts and Congress. So what's a borrower to do? The answer is breathe in deep and do your best. Control basically what you can. Don't worry about the stuff that you cannot control and focus on, what can I do right now to help myself grow my net worth, stay calm, relieve anxiety, etc. And my suggestion would be just keep making payments if you're on a payment. If you're on the save plan forbearance, just, wait it out. Apply for IBR when and if you need to, because you want to get forgiveness credit. Because you have a low income right now, for example. And then deep breaths. There's going to be a lot that's going to happen this summer. So I hope you have a really good vacation planned. I hope that you have lots of calming, if you pray, if you meditate, if you like to walk outside, you need those things. And know that we're going to be with you every step of the way. explaining what it means, explaining what you should worry about, what you shouldn't worry about. And the good news is what you shouldn't worry about, that category is always going to be a lot bigger than the stuff that you should worry about. So if you have any questions, studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. If you need help, you can go to our website, hire us if you need to. And if you need financial planning, slpwealth.com. Thanks everybody for listening. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Are you on the free Student Loan Planner email list? If yes, you can upgrade your experience and discover student loan loopholes so good, they might get repealed if I talk about them publicly. Find out my very best thought leadership that I really just can't be super open about anymore, unfortunately. If you want to get our very best tips, not just the ones that I can share for free, go to studentloanplanner.com/insider to get a special discount for your year membership. That's studentloanplanner.com/insider and get our very best dozens of bonus content and tips that's going to save you money and get you out of student debt faster. And if you're already an SLP insider, please reply back to those emails and let me know how I can make it even more valuable.